What's up? So, do you ever hear about the value of like ancient wisdom? There's Taoism, Stoicism, there's Buddhism, there's mindfulness, there's all these practices that people tell us we should incorporate into our lives, but can they actually be used in modern life? That's the topic today. This is the Existential Stoic Podcast. I'm Daniel with Randy. What's up,
Yeah, Danny.
Randy? Yeah, so I was thinking about this because, like, I don't know, I was thinking about the other day, like, society's changed so rapidly in so many ways, but there's all these, like, all this ancient wisdom that we often go back to, philosophers do all the time, all these gurus and stuff doing. Like, is it really practical to apply it now? Does it, is it possible, do you think?
When you mentioned this, I was actually thinking that really we should only be listening to ancient wisdom because modern wisdom is advancing so quickly that there's the great potential that we have surpassed the feedback loop. So, like, ancient wisdom was helpful because things moved a lot slower. And so, like, a lot of things were based on seasons, based on years, generations, lifetimes. Now it's like every day, every moment, every whatever, there's new wisdom, whatever. But it could be moving so fast that there's no time for the feedback, and we have no idea. Like, for instance, coating the earth in plastic, I don't think is really that helpful. Or a lot of the other things, like exploiting dinosaurs just so that we can have cars, maybe not that helpful. And a whole bunch of other stuff that we do, plastic bags all over the place. I don't know.
Even our science, I mean, look at how fast that's changed, and like ideas that were used to be like the cutting edge or like the considered truth have been debunked, and we move on to something else, There's so much information now. It's like, I think you're in that sense, you're right. Like, there's just so much, and it's not clear like what might be useful or the best, It's funny too, because like you look at ancient with like it's always funny when I used to like read Aristotle, I used to look and like, wow, you could like literally know everything that there is to know back. Like, you could be a person that knew everything, and you're like making new, totally new areas of knowledge all the time. And it's like now, like you go to school and like there's so much information for any one given subject that they break it up into a million different sub-disciplines, and you still can't process all that information.
Well, there's so much information, and yet we're stupider than ever. Like, I saw something earlier where they're concerned that, like, a lot of 20-year-olds don't even know how to sign their name anymore, so they can't even sign checks.
Oh,
But then I
curse, they
was
don't
like,
teach cursive anymore. Yeah, I heard that.
yeah, but then I was like, well, who the heck is so concerned about signing checks? Like, how often do you actually use checks? What antiquated system are you stuck in where you still need to sign checks? Like, how backwards is that? But it goes both ways.
I guess, like, why the hell are you signing? Who's still writing checks? What is going on? Yeah, I mean, but
To
also,
buy
how
your
hard
$7 gallon of milk,
is
go to the
it?
grocery store and sign a check.
I have
Jeez.
to write a check, but you can't cash it till next week. The for your milk. I mean, can't you just make up a signature anyway, though? That doesn't make any sense to me. Because the signature is just your style of signing your name. Like, it's just unique to you, whatever. And not even really that unique.
Yeah, but I think there is a lot of ancient wisdom. I think it's a lot more applicable than modern wisdom because really modern wisdom is just a reiteration of ancient wisdom.
Almost all of them,
Like,
yeah.
I've read so many of these like personal help books, and they're really just reiterating the same things over and over and over again. And then it was funny because there was this, I think it was called Think Again. He was talking about how like most of the stuff that they talk about in these books, it's all made up anyways. So like a whole bunch of the things that we've been saying forever, it's all just made up anyways.
Well, it all is, dude. It's human. Everything human is a construct, right? But I think you're right, though. Like, you look at the ancient stuff. These guys spent their whole lives thinking about these things, especially when you're talking about how to live life, like the good life and stuff, like, and like virtue and stuff. Like, they spent their whole lives trying to figure out how to do it and practicing it. And now you see these self-help books where, like, it's like either they'll like appeal to like one tiny part of a theory and just keep saying it over and over again in the whole book, or like, it's just total garbage. And I think you look back at that stuff, and there's so much more value there for how to actually like live and like address human problems.
We were talking a couple of weeks ago about is lying ever justified? Something along those lines. And you were saying how everybody lies. And While I knew that, I didn't really think about it that way, that like everybody lies. And so it got me thinking about like all these self-help gurus. They're lying too, somehow. And you kind of have to look at the people's motivations and stuff like that. And it's just like, it makes me think a lot differently when you consider that everybody lies. So like, what stuff are they lying about? Especially the guys who are like selling the absolute integrity, like radical honesty and all this stuff. Like they lie too. So where are they lying? The guys who are selling lying is 100% wrong.
Pride themselves too. And you know, the crazy part is too, the thing I always worry about the gurus now too, because you see a very curated aspect of them online, or they're, it's like, well, you know, it's like watching, like, you know, if I watch TV and I see a news presenter or something, like, I don't assume that person's like that in real life. One, they have probably they're talking a certain way because they're, you know, they're projecting their voice a certain way. It might not sound the same in regular conversation. You know, they might present themselves a certain way for the audience, but like in real life, they're probably very different. And I always wonder that too. Like, how many of these people that like claim to be gurus, like, is their life really organized and in order? Is it really perfect? Is it, you know, is everything really this way, or is it all, you know, kind of just like a show and like a, you know, a veneer, I guess is the right word.
Yeah, like I noticed in meditations, Marcus Aurelius talks about how like using people as models for virtue. Like he talks about some virtuous people in there and how their lives were basically a model for virtue. But we don't get that anymore. We get virtue signaling. So we get people's curated life on social media that looks like they're virtuous because they talk about how they taught their children the benefit of donating by giving $100 bills to the homeless. And they tweet all about that. And it's like, oh, geez, yeah, that's really, you were just doing that for the goodness out of your own heart, not to just, you know, become a saint on social media.
Well, and they're the first ones to say like thoughts and prayers when something bad happens, but they're
Oh
not
my
going
God.
over there. They're not running out there to help, right? They're not going onto the ground and doing something. You know, it's like the doctors that go help in crises. They're not on there going thoughts and prayers because they're there. You know, it's like it's a big distinction, right? I think, yeah, I think that's it too, right? It's like we're so focused on our presentation of the image of us rather than actually what we really are. And that's a hard, you know, it's hard to trust people in that position because it
But
feels like
also,
everything
like,
is.
you know, everybody has a dark side. And it's kind of like when you were mentioning that everybody lies, and I was thinking about that because most of the time people are going to be lying to try and hide that dark side that we all have. But it's like learning what that is
That's
and
part of
dealing with it.
yourself, right? I always, like Nietzsche always said, like giving Sally a character, it's like where you survey all your strengths and weaknesses and create yourself in such a way that where even your weaknesses delight the eye. And I always like that because it's like even your everybody's got weaknesses, everybody's got dark stuff, but like understanding it, knowing it, and then incorporating it into your life in a way where like it still is okay. You know what I mean? Like it still looks good in a sense.
When you were just saying that, I was thinking of like the stupid interview question, like, what would you say your biggest weakness is? Oh, well, I guess I'm like too much of a perfectionist, or I
I
just
work
try too
too
hard
hard.
sometimes. Yeah, I know, right? Garbage.
It is. It's a lot of that, though. That's the hard part, I think. And I think that's what's hard now, though, is like we're surrounded by it, dude. Everybody's virtue signaling. Everything is trying to sell you something or trying to, like, you know, and it's like all advertising. It's all copy. It's kind of what it feels like. And it's like there's nothing genuine underneath and it's hard. Yeah. Very difficult.
But I do think how we have far surpassed the feedback loop on any wisdom nowadays. Like, take it with a grain of salt.
No, I think absolutely. Yeah. I
Even
think the
like science.
ain't.
So, dude, because like, here's what happened. So like the 19 I don't know, the middle of the 1900s was exceptional time for science. The atomic bomb, insulin, antibiotics, like those three things changed the world, period. Like, no doubt, changed the world. But ever since then, science became gospel. And people just think that anything that has anything to do with science must be true. And it's just like, nah.
Well, you know, it's funny too. You always read all these things too about all these journals recalling papers and stuff because of like fraudulent stuff. And you know,
I
you made
love
a,
that.
yeah, well, yeah,
I
because
love that.
you made a system where kids go to school, all that's valued is the grade. And then when they get out in the working world, all that's valued is the output, not how they got there. And so at some point it's going to make sense for people to cheat and just create output so that they get promoted or they get the next thing or they get the next grant, And so you see it all the time. I just read one on a huge cancer research center that had to pull a bunch of stuff because it was all like, the data was all wrong. And it's like, yeah. So you have to be very careful. I think that's what makes it so hard for people to be able to evaluate stuff now, is that it's so clouded in BS and posturing, and it's like, yeah, it's really weird. That's why I think I like the ancient wisdom too, because they weren't trying to prove anything to anybody necessarily. Like Marcus Aurelius was a it was his journal. He wasn't trying to prove anything to anybody else, right? It was just him working through problems. Or like Aristotle's like the Nicomachean Ethics was like a lecture he gave to a small group that was like they were just thinking about these things, trying to work through them. The Tao Te Ching, he just wrote that down and left, if we believe the legend. You know what I mean? It's like, so these things were like honest in that sense. They weren't saying like everybody should do this or has to. And I think that's the difference. Or they weren't trying to sell something to somebody.
I know.
Yeah. I think that's what's great about ancient wisdom, is there wasn't that selling point, right? Yeah, maybe that is it. Ugh.
So how would someone go about learning the ancient wisdom?
I personally think go to this text first. Try them. There's so many ways you can get audiobooks now. You can go on YouTube, and there's always people that are willing to read that stuff. Do you? And so if you don't feel like reading, because sometimes the word's a little hard finding, and like if you don't like one, try again, because a lot of times I think the translations or the person presenting it can make a big difference. So don't give up right away and take it slow. Try to like, I think the best thing to do is like, if you start with the Tao Te Ching or like the, or Marcus Aurelius, is go really slow and think about it. Do like a page, a day or something, and just try to think about what it might mean to you. And then, I mean, and that's the other beautiful thing about that stuff. It's meant to be interpreted and applied to your life. So think about it and how might it apply, and don't rush through it because there's no reason to.
I like that. I would say, kind of echoing the same things, like it takes a while to figure out which of the ancient wisdom resonates with you. Because, like, I minored in philosophy, and so I had to read a whole bunch of the texts. And, like, Plato's Republic, sure, it's a classic, but it's I read it once and I wasn't like, meh. But then, reading the Tao Te Ching, reading meditations, those things started to resonate with me. And like you mentioned, the audiobooks on YouTube, because I would just put that on in the morning and just listen to it on double speed. And the meditations 100% depends on the translation. Like the George Long translation, I think awesome. And that's the one that's read by Vox Stoica on YouTube. But there's this other really cool looking book that has a black cover on it with a feather and a raven, and it's number one bestseller on Amazon, and the translation is garbage. It's absolutely miserable to read, and it's 100% dependent upon what the translation is. So don't be discouraged.
And it's funny too, because like I know like when academics translate, sometimes they're trying to be really, really conscientious of like the original instead of trying to modernize it a little bit for readers. And so like there is like something like if you're studying it, yeah, okay, sometimes you want that. But if you're trying to just understand it and get into it, you don't want that. You want something that's a little bit more modern,
I was thinking about that the other day because it's like when you learn another language, the structure of the language is different. So like,
Yeah,
we wouldn't say like
totally.
a red car, we would say car red in some other languages or some things like that. It changes the and so like what translator is actually going to say things exactly word for word how it's said in another language? It doesn't make sense. You would communicate with the people who are reading. And on average, the reading level of someone in America is fifth grade, maybe seventh grade on a maximum. So it's like, why you would go with just this stuff that doesn't read at all? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Well, it's always been, I think that's always been one of the struggles for philosophy to get wider traction, is that the people that study it tend to only write for each other. And so it's this really high, convoluted
Eyebrow.
nonsense. And it's not accessible. So I think making it accessible is like really important. That's why I actually like Massimo's book, The Field Guide to Habit, because I think he made it very accessible in that one, which was nice. And it's hard to find that stuff, man. It's like where people actually try to make it so that anyone could read it and enjoy it and understand it, you know? And the originals weren't that difficult. That's the funny part. They weren't hard, but like we make it so hard by making it so highbrow.
And like also what you mentioned, just reading a little bit every day. Like I have them on my coffee table when I have coffee in the morning. I just read a page from each. And in a couple months, you end up reading through the Tao Te Ching. And in like half a year, you read through the meditations. And it's just like awesome.
And another thing to keep in mind is like these guys really thought too that like it takes a lifetime to work on this. So don't expect, I think that's the other mistake. People expect like to read this and be like, I'm enlightened. And it's like, don't expect that. Like you expect it, like it's meant to be applied to your life. It's gonna take time. And it's something you just keep coming back to. And like I've read them, I read the Tao Te Ching, I don't know, like 20 times at least. And every time it seems different because I'm in a different place in my life. Different things stick out, and it's awesome. I mean, you can keep going back to it. So yeah. I think we should
Zig
go back to
Ziglar
them
once
all.
said it takes 17 times of reading something in order for it to really sink in. So like if you haven't and also Naval Ravikant, this was something that I heard him say probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It like struck me like really hard. Because he's an intelligent guy. He's also very successful. And somebody asked him about like, because he's read a whole bunch of books, like a lot of books. He's one of these super high readers. And he said in an interview, he's like, I would prefer to read the best 10 books over and over and over and over again than to try and read a whole bunch more. And that just like struck me because like up until that point, I was of the mind where like I need to read every book, as many books as I can. And then I was just like, oh my goodness, here's like a really intelligent guy saying just focus on the good ones. And he makes a good point.
Well, think about it, right? If you read, there's tons of stuff. Like, we'll take the Tao Te Ching, right? There's tons of stuff written on it, tons of secondary stuff, tons of other things. You could read all that, or you could just read the original over and over again, and you'll probably get way more out of that than you ever would because you're actually going to get a deeper and deeper understanding of it every time you read through it and different things out of it. I think, yeah, it is a good approach, especially for if you're just interested in it for your own life, you know, for your own application to your own life. That's a good way to go about it. I like that idea. Yeah. I've always missed that. The book I've read like numerous times, I feel like you just start to know them like inside and out, and then you see them differently every time. It's really interesting.
It is
Yeah.
really interesting that like what stuff has survived and then also contemplating what stuff hasn't survived.
Right.
Like Marcus Aurelius talks about how like, most people they just disappear when they breathe out their last breath. But like a select few will live a little bit longer. And like he's a great example. I mean, thousands of years his journal has lived, lasted. But like what other countless stuff was lost in like the Library of Alexandria
Yeah,
or
I was gonna
whatever?
say that. Yeah, because like we know, like I mean, we know Plato and Aristotle, their stuff happened to survive. You know, but clearly, I mean, there was other people writing back then. There's lots of other people doing, and a lot of the pre-Socratics, we only have fragments. We don't have all their stuff. So yeah, I mean, tons of stuff is just lost. So yeah, I mean, what survived got lucky, basically. Somebody probably had a copy that wasn't, you know, stored somewhere that burnt down, like, burnt to the ground when they were going crazy back then. And like, yeah, I mean,
Could
we
you?
lost
I mean,
so.
I sometimes think about this. I'm like, could you imagine if this isn't even the good stuff?
Could be the worst. It could be just what somebody had under their bed, literally.
Right?
Yeah, that's the crazy part. I mean, you know, and it's like, well, they said like the Library of Alexandria was like the largest library at the time, like just insane collection, and it's all gone. And it was, you know, they didn't have copies of stuff back then. It was, you know, writing was expensive and time consuming. They didn't, you know, it was just you had one basically. So yeah, lots of it lost. Kind of crazy. Thank you,
Well,
any work we
that's
have, right?
bingo.
There you go. You should look at the ancients, forget the modern stuff, because most of it's just advertising. It's a hard thing, yeah. And be very skeptical, I guess, is a good way to look at it. If you like this episode, check us on
Buy our
YouTube
latest
wherever you
program.
can. Yeah, there you go. I've only made some to sell. But check us on YouTube wherever you get your podcast. Please like, share, subscribe, leave a review. It helps us out a lot. We'll be back later this week on another episode. Until then, though, later.
Later, Danny.